Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7:36 British Summer Time. Today is June 11th, and of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture, long-term audio for the various different asset classes. First, let's have a review of what's been happening this week, because again, this has been another remarkably active week in markets. We've seen that the majority of stock markets, having found at least short-term support a couple of weeks ago, rallied up and then rallied, came straight back down. And the S&P has gone back this week to test the area of 1,050 points, and as I speak, is in the region of 1,082. So, has rallied somewhat from the most recent low, but really wouldn't really does need to hold this low if potential for a further test of underlying trading is going to be avoided. And it's a relatively similar story across a number of markets, particularly those in Southern Europe, where they had become really quite overextended on the downside. They're now beginning to find at least short-term support, and the likelihood of a relief rally towards the 200-day moving average, which in some cases is now declining, has increased really quite considerably. But such is the technical deterioration that they have undergone, they really do need to do more to really start to turn some of this sentiment around. So, particularly for some of those weaker markets, they remain really quite vulnerable. In Asia, it's a rather different story, because that is and indeed in Latin America, we continue to see that that is where some of the most consistent trends are evident. So when we look at markets such as Indonesia or the Philippines or Thailand, which have been among the best performing markets this year, they are really quite consistent and haven't pulled back to any great extent over the last couple of weeks. And indeed, the Korean market could be lumped in with them in that regard. So we have these Asian markets which haven't pulled back to any great extent, and even if they were to, they still have really significant room to consolidate above their 200-day moving averages and still look really quite consistent and in a medium-term case. When we look at Latin America, Brazil continues to range between 60,000 and 64,000, which is 60,000 is a psychological area for the Brazilian market, and it's been down to test it on a number of occasions over the last month. This week, however, it has rallied and it's closer to 63,000, but it really does need to sustain a move back above the 200-day moving average to indicate that demand is really getting back under into the driving seat here. And against this background of a great deal of uncertainty, the Chilean market, which has been ranging for the last 6 months, broke upwards 3 days ago and has been up now for four consecutive days at all-time new highs. And it's looking like a well-defined breakout from a relatively lengthy trading range in the region of the previous high, and it looks all systems go in the Chilean market. So we do see that there are some markets that have been relatively unaffected by this increased anxiety and indeed volatility in markets, and some are even pushing on to new high ground. If we continue with the review, government bond prices have become really quite overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, and we saw some weakness creeping in the last couple of days, and they're all a bit stronger in here today. Gilts are stronger by almost a full point, and US Treasuries are stronger by almost a point and a half, and Eurobonds are stronger by just over half of 1 point. So it's there's no great evidence yet that the uptrend for these government bond prices is over, although they are becoming increasingly overextended. I closed my short in the Eurobund today because I was looking at the what was a profitable position eroding, and I decided to take the profit while I saw it, because that's just the kind of trading activity that we've got right now. Volatility across markets has been really quite high, and this isn't the kind of activity that is conducive to trend running tactics. So with this increased volatility, one does need to change one's tactics, and I suppose it's also this isn't the kind of environment where one makes the family fortune. So it is a more difficult environment, and these short-term trends, though, that have been in evidence, are looking a little bit overstretched, and particularly in what have been deemed to be safe havens or risk-off type. Safe havens such as US Treasuries or other sovereign bonds. The US dollar came under a little bit of pressure this week against a number of currencies, and the Japanese yen was also a little bit weaker, but not by any great margin. And just as we see in stock markets, there's been a distinct absence of convincing upward dynamics. We saw something akin to that 2 days ago, but we haven't had any follow-through, and really we do need to see these markets push upwards in no uncertain terms, sustain upward breaks to really start to or sustain bounces from these lows, I should say, to really get people back on board here. There are still an increasing number of things to worry about, not least the European Union and the debt crisis that remains placated, I think, at the moment, but not re unresolved, I think, is probably the best way to characterize it. Then you have the BP oil spill and the Chinese tightening and deflationary pressures being feared in the West and inflationary pressures elsewhere, and there is an increasing amount of anxiety among investors that the really quite impressive advance that we've had over the last year is running out of steam, or it's a 15 months and counting actually, and this has certainly riled markets over the last month or two. But when we look at the long term, this is primarily a European crisis. And the Chinese tightening again is a short to medium term worry, and unlikely to derail the Chinese economy in the medium to long term. China led into this correction. Their market peaked in August of last year, and there's no conclusive evidence yet that the A-share market has bottomed, but it has lost a bit of downward momentum. So, just as we see with other markets, there is scope here for it to rally at least towards its moving average, because it really is quite overextended. And there is a strong likelihood that since China led us into this correction, that it could also lead us on the way out. So it is well worth watching. But regardless of what we see going on in markets right now, with this increased level of anxiety and any number of things for investors to worry about, this isn't going to stop the millions and indeed billions of new consumers entering the global marketplace over the coming decades. The population centers of the world, particularly India, have very young populations, and right now those young people are being born and being educated to one extent or another, and in the next decade and 2 decades they're going to be hitting the workforce, and they're going to need jobs, they're going to need sanitation, education, health care, and they will demand all of the consumer goods that we take for granted in this part of the world. And that's a long-term theme that is going to drive demand for consumer goods and all kinds of commodities over the long term. Now, the supply side of that equation is the variable, because the demand side does appear, or certainly looks like it's a relative positive. So the supply side of the equation is the big unknowable. Certainly on the consumer goods sides, there are a large number of export-driven companies in the USA, Europe, and Japan, which will benefit from the increased demand for consumer goods. And on the commodity side, the mining industry, which has been under pressure, particularly in Australia because of this super profits tax, is also in a long-term bull market. And the difference this time around is that so far they haven't competed with each other to massively increase supply to capture market share. And were that to occur, then that really would be the writing on the wall for the supply side of this equation, because while that demand is there, if supply increases remarkably, that is going to drive down commodity prices, and they're likely to stay down for a considerable period. What we've seen in the last month or two has been that industrial metals have fallen really quite abruptly. And that's been at least in part because of the strength of the US dollar, but also because of fears about the role of the Chinese tightening and the slowdown in construction spend there. But the need for infrastructure has been dominated by China over the last decade. And they're talking about moving up to a urbanization pattern of about 75% of their population, and they're currently somewhere in the 40s. I think it's about 47%. So they aren't about to stop building new cities, new roads, new railways, new power supply, and new sanitation. But are they going to be building at the same pace that they have over the last decade? Perhaps not. But when we look at the rest of the world, the other major population centers, such as India or Indonesia or large parts of the Middle East and Africa, are infrastructure poor. And they're only getting started. And with these huge populations entering the workforce, they're going to need to build this infrastructure at the risk that if they don't, you're going to have massive civil unrest. The other big side of this is that you're going to have demand for more food. And over the last 6 weeks to 10 weeks in particular, some of the fertilizer companies have pulled back really very sharply. But with increasing numbers of people in demanding food, and we've got a population today of somewhere like 6 billion, and it could get upwards of 9 billion in the next 30 to 40 years, then that's a significant increase in demand for food. Now, one way to look at it is we're going to have a lot more hungry people, or the other is that the need to increase supply is really quite impressive, and that's going to require significant capital expenditure. And right now, we have the situation where grain prices have pulled back in no uncertain terms, but are still at levels that are historically high compared to where they have been in the past. And they've been ranging for much of the last year. So we have base formation development in a number of the grain markets. But right now, we're not seeing a lot of investor interest in grains, although oats has rallied impressively this week and may be a straw in the wind for some of the other grains and soybeans. But in the soft commodities sector at the moment, we see that cocoa prices are close to 18-year highs. Now, they have become relatively overextended compared to the 200-day moving average and have come under a little bit of selling pressure this week. So they don't look like they're going to go on to hit new highs in the short term, but so they look like they are probably into a correction. But sugar prices, having been very high, have just broken upwards. White sugar on Life broke through the $500 level this week and finished out the week at 524, so that's an emphatic breakout. Coffee prices broke upwards this week with the Arabica bean breaking outwards today, and Robusta breaking upwards 2 days ago. So interest is certainly returning to the soft commodity sector. Orange juice has also been, it hasn't been breaking upwards, but it has held its gains reasonably well. And these are commodities that are non-essentials, but we are starting to see that they're certainly starting to garner investor interest, and that's a net positive for the soft commodity sector generally. But demand for all of these commodities, whether they are food commodities, industrial resources, or consumer goods, is on a long-term upward trend. And the companies, particularly those that are selling the end products, and we've certainly seen that processed food companies have done phenomenally well over the last 18 months and have pulled in back into corrective phases. But they're also probably worth watching for when they find support and begin to rally, because they are directly levered to growth in the global consumer market. And that is likely to be the investment theme for the next decade and perhaps even 2 decades, because urbanization, the demand for consumer goods, is all predicated on the access of billions of new consumers to the global economy. And nothing has happened to derail that trend. So while in the short term there are non-trivial worries about exactly where stock markets are headed in the short term, over the long term, the appeal of the population centers of Asia and the high-growth regions of the world that either depend on supplying them what they need, or have their own domestic demand stories in their own right, have significant upward potential and are likely to continue to lead on the upside, both in terms of their economic growth, stock market performance, stock market leadership, which is slightly different, and they have shown a pronounced trajectory of improved standards of corporate, economic, and civil governance, which makes what we have in the market right now a two-speed economy, a global economy, where we have the high growth, high population, improving standards of governance, Asian and Latin American economies contrasting very sharply with low growth, declining standards of governance and freedom. Economies in the USA and in Europe, and I think in Japan as well. So, this is a very much a two-speed global economy, and there are clear winners and losers. In the very short term, it remains to be seen whether the recent lows will hold. And if they do, then we're likely to see some further ranging and support building around these areas. But if Wall Street holds its recent lows, then that is likely to give a green light to a number of these emerging markets, which have pulled back rather sharply, and indeed to some of the better performers, and some are already pushing onto new high ground, that they're likely to sustain those upward breaks and return to positions of relative performance. And I think with that, I will leave you for the weekend and wish all the best to all of you.